So what about the use of an AI in a woman who is premenopausal at diagnosis and stopped cycling soon after diagnosis and has now been on tamoxifen for 2 years? Well, in this situation, I think it's actually much more analogous to the postmenopausal woman. She has now been without premenopausal levels of estrogen for 2 years, and I think it is that much more likely that substituting an AI for tamoxifen after 2 years could be of additional benefit. We don't know that from any of the clinical trials that have been performed, but it at least seems more rational to my way of thinking. And so, at least from my viewpoint, in a woman who is newly diagnosed, I, as I mentioned before, would not use ovarian suppression and an AI in almost anyone. On the other hand, in someone who is cycling in those first couple of years and reaches that 2-year point, I actually would not switch someone to an ovarian suppression and an AI. On the other hand, in a woman who has stopped cycling and who, at least in my mind, is much more akin to women who were in the IAS study, I think that there are really two reasonable strategies. One is to continue tamoxifen for 5 years and then to consider at that point in time switching to an AI. And the other is to switch at that point in time, which I personally don't think is unreasonable. That said, I think what we've all seen in practice, and Hal actually has a whole series of these women, there are patients who have been without menstrual cycles for a couple of years who go off tamoxifen at that point in time and start cycling again. So if, in fact, one is going to substitute an AI at that 2-year point, either one needs to monitor very, very closely or give that therapy with an AI.
Okay. Premenopausal patient age 40 to 45 who ceased menstruation should be treated with tamoxifen for 2 years and then if amenorrheic switched. So 6 people agree with that. Cliff?
I think we're wrong to put people in AIs who are in their mid-40s with no periods on tamoxifen. I don't think we have a clue. And the random sampling of their estradiol and FSH does nothing to change that.
The people who really know how to measure estradiol levels tell us that at least below 20, you're not very accurate. Now, if you get above 20 for the routine clinically available assays, they get to be pretty accurate. 300 is high.
But that's what you're looking for in this case.
Right, yeah. So they're
you're looking for a premenopausal level.
I
and I can tell you, we've started measuring them, and I'm totally flabbergasted at the number of patients who are amenorrheic, even in the late 40s, early 50s, who still have premenopausal levels of estrogen.
And I've had at least 3 people go up to 200 or 300, yeah. And they're 52, 53 years old. I agree.
Hal?
The point is that actually amenorrhea is menopause, but that's not a very good definition for treating patients with AIs. And the series that Cliff and Eric have alluded to, we began to notice a couple of patients like this in clinic, and so we've sort of pooled our experiences and are submitting 8 cases, actually, all of whom were women in their 40s who had chemotherapy-induced amenorrhea, who were thought biochemically or on strong clinical grounds to be truly menopausal and were put onto an AI and typically within 6 to 18 months then began to have menstruation again or had biochemical evidence of residual ovarian function suggesting they were not getting therapeutic gain from AI.
Come on.
What I do is if a patient is amenorrheic for a period of time, which is usually 1, 2, or 3 years, I will measure at least 2 or 3 times and they are all in the chemical postmenopausal range. I mean that normally what happens is if a premenopausal woman, if she's even not cycling, tamoxifen will actually increase the estradiol level dramatically. If they are consistently in the postmenopausal range and FSH-LH is high, then I would feel comfortable switching them.